Tomorrow, I'll be in prayer for those that are traveling and are away. There are many on the road even now as we speak, so be in prayer for them as they travel, get to where they're going, get back safe. It is good to have visitors with us today, and I hope they enjoyed their time with us. We had a wonderful time in the youth zone. We were down a little bit, but it's to be expected with the holiday upon us tomorrow. I am glad that you are here. This past Sunday, when we were in the book of Colossians chapter 3, and verse 15, the Bible says there, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Be thankful. Good to see the core ones in today. Thank y'all for being here. Did y'all bring cold weather with you? Lift it up. Georgia border. Glad to see y'all made it in safe. Says, be ye thankful. I wonder if there's anybody tonight has something that they would like to be thankful about. Anybody? Yeah, Brother Jim?
I'm thankful that I'm a child of the King. And so if there's nothing I deserve, it's only what Jesus Christ has done for me. I'm so thankful.
Anybody else? Corwin?
I'm thankful for the safe trip down, and I'm thankful that we had a great church down here that we spent a winter with you.
Amen.
It's been 5 years, and enjoyed every 5 years.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
We are. Anybody else thankful? Yeah, Jared?
The church family here.
Church family. Amen. Hector, who? Brother Jason? I can't see that far. Oh, that's too far. That's beyond the first pew. Go ahead, Jason. I'll get Miss Linda. Thankful for God's grace. We all need that. I'm certain of that. Sure. Miss Linda? Amen. It's good to be saved. Yes, Asa?
Everything that I have.
Amen. He's thankful for everything he has, including God and his son, Jesus. Yes, Brother Carl?
I'm thankful for the love of God, my beautiful wife, who gave me many, many years ago. The provisions that we provide day by day. He loves me in spite of myself.
Amen. Yes, Brother Mike?
I'm thankful to see the teenagers here this evening. Got ready for Thanksgiving and breakfast or something, but they came on out of church. So I'm glad to see you guys.
I'm glad to even see some Florida Gator fans and some Seminole fans in here. They could have been ready to fight, you know. This is that weekend.
Yeah.
But they came to church to be thankful. Maybe they came to get a little spirituality so they could make it through the game. I think it's going to be a good one. Yeah, Brother Mike, they could have been anywhere tonight. They chose to come to the house of the Lord. I am thankful for that. Amen. Yes, ma'am, Miss Nancy. So now, what is it? It's like Purple Wednesday now? I mean, what shopping did you almost get caught up in? We've got Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Brown Thursday,
Thanksgiving.
What did they do to Wednesday now? I missed it. You must have had to go to the market basket and they had nothing but self-checkout. You could have been stuck there for a week. Anybody else? We are glad to see you here tonight, Miss Nancy. We are. Yeah, Noah?
Thanks for the word of God.
Amen. It's good to see a young man that's thankful for the word of God. Brother Ray? He is. I'm going to miss you, friend. Wait. Anybody else? Yes, Brother Douglas? We're thankful you are here with us. We are. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Well, we're glad you're here. We are. We could have closed the doors tonight and not had church, and y'all would have drove all this way for nothing. So, thank you. Well, thank you. Even if you was across the street. So we try. I mean, we're few. If we'd have had it Tuesday night, we'd have had just as many because if they had traveled Tuesday as well. So it doesn't matter. We didn't change it on Christmas Day when it was on Wednesday. So good to be here in God's house, Brother Scott. I saw you. Anybody else? There ain't no rush. Yes, Miss Vivian?
I'm thankful because next time they see coming to this church, and I'm thankful because of that, because I'm together with some hopeful that will play.
Yes, ma'am. You're definitely praying about that. We're glad that you're here. Baby, you bring a ray of sunshine when you come. You are. I am so glad that God's given us unique members that just were different from each other. Yet we have the love of God within us, and it's what it says, when the rule of a peace of God will rule in your heart. And he said, be ye thankful. Anybody else before we move on? All right, let's go to Psalms chapter 88. We'll pick up where we left off there last Wednesday night. And then we'll just look at this psalm again. With the introductory that I gave to it last Wednesday night, it's almost a sad psalm to have on Thanksgiving Eve. But when we get to the end, we'll notice there is hope in this. Psalms 88, we'll read again the whole chapter, and I'll give a little bit of overview, and we'll get back into where we were at. Psalms 88, Listen to the words, read along with me, and you'll notice how mournful and desponding this here chapter is in the Word of God. Psalms 88, verse 1. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee, incline Thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom Thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from Thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in the darkness, in the deeps. Verse 7, Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and Thou hast afflicted me with all Thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up and cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon Thee. I have stretched out my hands unto Thee. Verse 10, Wilt Thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise Thee, Selah? Shall Thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or Thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall Thy wonders be known in the dark, and Thy righteousness in the land of the forgetfulness? But unto Thee have I cried, O Lord, in the morning shall my prayer prevent Thee. Lord, why castest Thou off my soul? Why hidest Thou Thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer Thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast Thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Now, I told you there was four different commentaries I looked through and saw. And Barnes commentary said this psalm altogether is a mournful and desponding. The author seems to be suffering, even expecting to die. He fears to die. He longs to live. His mind overwhelmed with gloom, which does not seem that there is even one ray of hope or consolation found in this chapter. When you read it, Adam Clark said, the earnest prayer of a person in deep distress seems abandoned by his friends and neighbors, and even apparently seems to be forsaken by God. Matthew Henry said, this psalm is a lamentation and does not conclude as a usual psalm with the least bit of comfort and joy, but from first to last, it is mourning and woe. The pulpit commentary said this is the darkest, saddest psalm of all the psalms. And we looked at it last week and began to go through it and began to try to dissect this here chapter and look at it. And I told you, in my opinion, as we looked at it, this here is a chapter not where somebody is suffering injustice, not where somebody is suffering maybe affliction, you know, of the body. It doesn't look like that. It is someone that is suffering from relationship problems, maybe a broken relationship or whatnot. But to me personally, it looked like to me that this was somebody that knew God. Somebody that had a relationship with God. Well, how do we know that? Verse 1, O Lord, God of my salvation. There, and so it's somebody that knew God. We did go back in some Bibles, maybe not your Bibles, but some Bibles gives a little title above the Psalms there, and it mentions the writer and who's involved here. Mine says a song or psalm for the sons of Korah, to the chief musicians upon Melatha, Lemnoth, Meshkal of Heman, the Ezraite, there, and we went back in 2 Chronicles. We looked at those names in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 19, 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 33, 1 Chronicles 15, 17, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 14 and verse number 30, and we looked up and we could find some information about these guys, but it never did show us that they were in any type of desperate situation such as we read here. And so as I read it, I feel like this is one of these gentlemen, one of them, maybe a son, maybe it's a grandfather, maybe it's the father writing about something, maybe he's writing about himself, but I believe that to me, this is a person that is backslidden, somebody that knows God, somebody that has been around the things of God. And they're, and I'll be honest with you, dear friend, misery from sinning and walking away and being separated from God, dear friend, because of sin, it's difficult. You say, well, Pastor, why would you even consider or bring forth this here? This verse in this chapter, because I want you to understand something, dear friend. I don't believe this person intended to get there. As a matter of fact, I don't believe, honestly, anybody that's backslidden to the depths where they feel despair, feel like God Himself has even forsaken them. I don't believe they do it on purpose. I think it's slow, and it's a decay, you know, a slow thing that gets you down there, and you fall apart slowly before you realize it. Listen, the prodigal son didn't all of a sudden wake up one morning in the slop pen. He got there by distance, a travel, and that's how sin works. And so why am I doing this? Because listen, I want you to understand this. When we finish this chapter, I want you to know something. I do believe that this psalmist knew who his Savior was. But in his sin, he knew who to cry to. He knew who to run to. He knew the character of God. And he knew where there would be help at. And yet, it seems though, as you read it on through here, that help come at a later time. It wasn't immediate. I believe forgiveness was immediate. But I believe when we look at this chapter, when you see a man or a character in this chapter who was reaping the consequences of his choices, though he had been forgiven by God. So I want you to understand something. If you find yourself backslidden, now I pray for you. I pray you don't. The Holy Spirit of God is leading and directing and guiding, and He does not want you to end that way. But if you find yourself as a child of God and you're backslidden away from God, and we're reading verses like this, he says, verse 3, "For my soul is full of troubles." My soul is full of troubles. You know, that's an inner problem. That is a conviction that has a separation of fellowship. You know as well as I do, any of you that has any type of relationship with anybody, if there is some kind of crossword or any type of separation of that because of actions upon one of the two parties, dear friend, it troubles you. Well, how much greater, dear friend, when the God of heaven who resides in us at salvation, the Bible says the gospel that we heard, we trust and believe, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. How much more so, dear friend, when the God of heaven moves in this whole body of ours and we choose to go crossways with Him. We choose to transgress the law. We choose, and by decisions we choose. I'm telling you, dear friend, that's troubling to the soul when the Spirit of God is quenched within you. So this is where we're at here. And so he says, verse 4, look at the latter part. He says, "I am as a man who hath no strength." He says there in verse 5, "free among the dead." When you get to the point, different, before we got saved, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead in trespass and sin. Have you ever been? Listen, I have been in a backslidden state. And I'm going to tell you, when I got there, I didn't want to be around saved people. I began to want to fellowship and be around and spend time around folks that was dead. What I'm saying, lost. I didn't want to be around saved. Why did I want to be around saved people? Because it bothered me. It troubled my soul when I would see the joy, the peace, the God that I once had, once knew, but because of my choices. And so, listen, when he says I was free among the dead, listen, I'm telling you, it's hard to be free around the dead folks. In other words, what he's saying to him is, what I believe he's saying is that he had returned back to bondage. Like it says in the New Testament, he had been entangled again with those bondages that was there. But the amazing thing is, in this state where he was at, look at verse 1. Oh, Lord God of my salvation. In that backslidden state, this person knew who had rendered him free in the beginning and was saved. He recognized the deity there, oh Lord, as he said, oh Lord God. The Lord, oh Lord God of my salvation. He recognized it as in his troubled soul. And he's there. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, that is the Holy Spirit of God bringing that conviction, working in your life. He's troubling you and trying to bring you back to a point where you can be set free once again. Now listen, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us of our sins and iniquities if we only turn to him. But we've got to get to the point where we not only confess them, but like the Psalms, the Proverbs said, we've got to get to the point where we forsake them. At this point, in the early part of this, he's probably there. I don't know what level of repentance he is, but I guarantee you this, dear friend, there's two directions when you're saved. If you choose sin, that's the wrong direction. If you choose repentance, that is the right direction. This is a man that's looking for help, searching for help. How do you know that? He says, for day and night. Day and night before I did Esau. Listen, Esau said, I cried day and night and found no repentance. I mean, he saw for it. He said, I saw and looked for it. He saw and looked for it. So this is a man that is troubled and he's there. But he recognized that there is a God, and he recognized the God of his salvation. He's coming to himself and he understands this. Look over in chapter 88, Psalm 88, verse 10. Notice here that he begins to recognize and to call out. He does not deny the characteristics of God. He says there in verse 10, wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead rise and praise thee? Selah, verse 11, shall thy loving kindness, he's recognizing God for who he is, be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness and destruction, shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness. Now look back at verse number 8. Verse 8, he says, thou hast put away my acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. This is a man who says, I am an abomination. He's saying, God, you have put away even my closest friends from me there. Look in verse number 15. Verse 15, he says, I am afflicted. I mean, he is distraught. I am afflicted. And this is where sin leads us. Listen, the Bible says in Hebrews that sin is pleasurable for a season. I mean, it is. But in this, in a chapter where this man says, I'm an abomination. I am distraught. Verse 16, look what he says. The fierce wrath, thy fierce wrath goeth over me. He recognizes this. He recognized the God, the Lord God of my salvation. He understood. I'm going to tell you something. He realizes and gets to the point that his sin has taken him to a place that he alone cannot return. He remembers the time in his mind where he put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember you've been taught or you've been presented to, not by works of righteousness which you have done, Titus 3:5. Listen, when you get to this place, dear friend, let me tell you something. You're not getting back by yourself. You're not getting back. You're not returning by your own power and your own might. When you get over there, 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you would. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9. So if you get out there and you're wandering in this storm and blizzard, I never lived in the snow. I never lived in the place where snow would even blind you, from the flurries coming in. But I've read and I've seen and talked to folks. They said if they had to go out to the barn during a snowstorm, they always had a rope that they'd tie from back of the house to the barn, and they'd hold that rope. And again, I want to tell you something, dear friend. That rope for you and I is the Holy Spirit of God living in there. That's the Holy Spirit of God living there. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I backed off and went somewhere else. I'm over in Titus. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 9. Listen to what it says here. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and the sinners, for unholy and the profane, and for murderers of fathers, murders of mothers, for manslayers. That's what the law was there for, and it's for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, and men stealers, and liars, and adjured perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel, blessed God, of the gospel, blessed God, which has committed to my trust, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. It's not within us. It's the Lord of heaven that enables us. It's not by works that we can do. Remember the Ephesians chapter 2, it says, not by works of righteousness. So, dear friend, if it's not by works of righteousness, not works that we can do, it's not things that we do within ourselves to get us saved, once we're saved and we're a child of God and we wander off out there, dear friend, we need the help of God to get us back. And we've got to recognize who God is. And that's what the psalmist is doing in verse 10, 11, and 12. He's recognizing who the God of heaven, the God of his salvation is. God is able to do great wonders. Verse 10, wilt thou show wonders? He's understanding this. He's asking in himself, you know, if you've been away from God, God, will you let me back? God, will you let me near to you? God, will I hear your voice? God, will you talk to me? And this is where he's crying day and night, but yet he recognized, what does he say? In the midst of my state, where I'm at, God is still God. We gotta keep that in mind, dear friend. If we're good and everything's going great and everything's wonderful and everything is okay, you know, finances okay, 401 okay, and our person got elected and our job is the dream job and our home's the best one on the county, in the county, or our, you know, and our health is A-okay, or what is that C1A1 thing y'all always getting checked, that blood work, C2?
A1C.
A1C, y'all sound like Star Wars. You know, with all these numbers. If it's the best at the top, your cholesterol is proper, you know, good cholesterol, good bad cholesterol, sodium good, everything's perfect. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend, God is still God. If you're running around here with a pound of cancer in your back, with a tumor that big, and your wife just left you, and your job just fired you, God is still God. We've got to get that away. This man understood that. And I'm going to tell you something. You living righteous in here in the house of God, spending time around the things of God, singing in the choir, teaching Sunday school class, God is still God. You walk out that door backslidden, dear friend, God is still God. You've got to get a hold of that. If not, when you get backslidden, dear friend, you'll be blinded. You won't find. How many folks do you know personally, dear friend, who you know they're saved? You know they're trusted Christ. They have called after him. There was fruits of repentance, and they traced themselves back and trampled on the blood of Christ. And dear friend, they can't be found by anybody. Can't convince them to come back to the house of God. Why? They're trying to get back by themselves, and they're not recognizing that God is still God, even in their state. What happened to the prodigal son? In my father's house, my servants are doing better than what I'm doing. What was he saying? He recognized who his father was. And this is it. He's understanding the character of God. But he ain't removed it. I mean, he's still in there. He's still in this. At the end of this verse 16, thy fierce wrath overcometh thee. Verse 18, lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and my acquaintance in darkness. At the end of the chapter, it seems as though there's no hope, but different. I'm telling you, there's hope when you remember that you are a child of God. The Lord God of my salvation. You think the devil won't listen? I want you to get this, dear friend. You've got to get this. If you are saved, and God's plan for you is to live holy, live righteous, do good, to do right. But God's plan for you, dear friend, is that you will always be His child. That's fixed. It's absolute. It is settled. He said, "Saved, I sealed you until the day of redemption." That's God's plan. So all that sin and all that draw and everything out that door and out that door, everything the world has to offer to us as God's people, dear friend, is not going to change the fact that you're a child of God. Preacher, how do you know that? Because Lot said, it vexed my righteous soul. Lot lived a hard life, dear friends. He lived a hard life. He got down there and saw him tomorrow, pitched his tent, became part of the government, and sold himself out. He was voting on things that was ungodly. He was making laws and passing laws, sitting at the gate. When they say sitting at the gate in the Old Testament, that means there's part of the government. Passing laws. Listen, there's some folks up there in Washington. There's folks in Tallahassee, folks down there in Orlando, down at the county seat that I believe that are saved, but they are making decisions different because their eyes have been blinded. I don't believe every one of them folks up there are lost. Every one of them, they are blind. Are there lost folks up there? Sure there are. I would think probably the majority of them is. But you know why the devil wants to keep those other ones in a state of sinfulness? So they won't be the salt and the light that you should be. That's why. But then, friend, let me tell you something. God is God. Look in Jeremiah chapter 10. I don't want you to get this. I've got to close, get these kids on this bus, get on. But I need you to get this because we got too many folks that the devil trips up after they've been saved. I'm talking about folks that's been around God a long time. How many of you know folks that have been saved 30, 40 years that's backslid right now? Man. And they're trying to do it all themselves and they can't. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. They will not realize that God is God. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, listen to what he says. Correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. I believe they're caught right here. They're backslidden, they're out there, and they're in it, and they're afraid that God's going to correct them in His anger. God loves you, dear friend. He said, I left the 99 and I'll carry you back. But they're caught, the devil has tricked them. It's been the devil's lie, dear friend, to take and twist and turn and change the Word of God since the very beginning in Genesis. Yea, hath God said. You know what he's saying to him? You know it, and I know what he told me. God don't love you no more. This is awful. The blood of Jesus was shed. You think he don't know why the blood of Jesus is shed? He's heard sermon after sermon after sermon, preacher after preacher after preacher, preach the Word of God. Sit in pews of churches and listen. He knows, dear friend. He knows. And he'll tell you. God hates sin. God sent His Son to die for that sin, and boy, He's angry at you. They got to get to the point, like Jeremiah says right here, it's not within man to correct himself. It's not. Listen, getting ourselves from a backslidden state. There is no 12-step program that can get you there. It is you realizing you're a child of God and you're better than what you're doing right now. You are worth something. I mean, you are worth something. And let me tell you something. We got to get to the point where we that are spiritual lift up such a one and fallen. We got too many lame ducks walking around, you know, dragging a ton of sin, trying to correct somebody else in their sin. That ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Nah, it's not going to work for a minute, dear friend. That holier than I looking down upon folks, dear friend, and saying, if you love God, you wouldn't be doing that. The devil has hoodwinked them and robbed them and dragged them through the mud again, and they've allowed themselves to be an instrument of unrighteousness. Is it right? No, it's not right. No, it is not right. Not at all, dear friend. I'm not condoning unholy living. But I'm going to tell you something. You better do like the Bible says and don't think so highly of yourself. Because before you know it, dear friend, it can be you. It can be you. The best way, listen, the best way I know to end this study, dear friend, is to bring your attention back to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God's unconditional love that saved you. It wasn't you keeping this, that, it wasn't you doing this or that, it wasn't you living like this or that. Yet while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. The gospel. You got to remember that. Who saved you? What did the psalmist say? The Lord God of my salvation. So if you ever, I'm not saying you are. I don't know if you are. Listen, dear friend, I don't have time to run around and chase you down, look in your back door, follow you around and get your accounts and do check up on you, dear friend. But I'm going to tell you, there's some telltale stories. What is it, Pastor? When a child of God doesn't love the things of God, dear friend, they're backslidden. They can blame it on what they want to. The preacher's mean, the choir's dull. What's another good one? Oh, pastor wants them to wear a tie up in the choir, or they don't like ties, whatever it is. Dear friend, you get to the point where you don't love the things of God, dear friend, you won't be in the house of God. If you're not in the house of God, you're backslidden. Because Jesus Christ died and gave Himself for the church. He instituted the church. He is the head of the church. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Pastor, what in the world got into your crawl? I'm just telling you, dear friend. Jesus, let me tell you something. Jesus was so hard on Pharisees. He called them white. Sister Barbara didn't. He called them snakes. I'm dead. Pharisaical stuff ain't going to get people right with God. Loving them, praying for them, being brokenhearted for them, helping them to recognize Jesus Christ the righteous saved them, and they need to act right because Jesus saved them. Let's stand to our feet. If I could go on another 10, 20, 30 minutes on that, I'll tell you something. You said, Pastor, when Brother John and Sister Sue, they ain't here tonight, you should have saved this for when they was here. That's the problem right there. Everybody else needs what I just preached, except it's me, oh Lord. I need it. Why? Because if I get out there and sin, I need to know the way back. The way back is to run to God, not stay in that junk. What page, Brother Jim?
379,
church. Be ye thankful. Thanksgiving tomorrow. We'll be praying that you stay safe if you're traveling and make it back here safely. Be praying for the services this coming Sunday. With Carl Price, dismiss us, please.
Lord, it's good to be in your house again. It's holiday season. Lord, we see becoming the nation of ingrates, not grateful and not thankful for everything you've done for us. Lord, we do thank you for your son that died on the cross for us. We thank you that you care for us even when we're backslid. And you try to move us back to you. Lord, we pray that we take this message to heart. Help us to be thankful as we take our dinner tomorrow.
Okay, no visitation on Saturday.